Today, we're going to be looking at another thing that we need to abandon, that we need to quit, and that is lying. Now, it's actually funny, you know, I've been preparing this for a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden, this morning, I thought to myself, why am I doing this one? Like, how did sort of this one land on my plate? I mean, you know, as a church, you know, you want to hear about faith and about courage. And now all of a sudden, it's like the bad cop has to come up and talk about lying. It's like, oh, my goodness. So if you're feeling that way, I hope that by the time you leave, you won't be feeling, oh, my goodness, but that you'll be feeling convicted. Have a look in Proverbs chapter 6. Why don't we say a prayer together? Holy Father God, thank you so much for the scriptures. Thank you so much for the Bible, God, to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, and to correct and rebuke us, God. And God, we are so desperately in need of guidance. Our hearts, our emotions, our lives can pull in so many different directions. And God, we're grateful that you are our rock and our foundation to base our lives on. And God, this morning, as we look at deceit and we look at lying and quitting that, our prayer is that we will be convicted in our hearts, God, that we will live honest and truthful lives. We love you. We pray in your son's name. Amen. You know, I think some of us are a little bit more aware of lying in your life than others. It's one of those things when I talk to other people and I confess that I lied, it can feel a little bit awkward, because kind of lying is kind of, you know, liar, pants on fire. It's kind of one of those things that from when you're sort of young at school, it's like a bad thing to be a liar. And so it can be a hard thing to talk to other people about when you actually do lie. But lying is such a normal part of our daily lives, unfortunately. There are lies in business. There are lies in marriage. There are lies in friendships, in families, in politics. There are lies on tax returns, lies on CVs. Even in sport, we have some lying. I won't make any comments over what team that person plays for. You know, there are people who win cycle races, who make a lot of money, who write books, build up empires, sue people who call them liars and cheats, and then years later admit, okay, I was just lying all along. It's the world that we live in, isn't it? I remember one of my worst cover-ups in my history happened in primary school. And I think back now, I think, what on earth was I doing? And, you know, if you decide not to quit lying and you want to continue to lie, don't do what I did. Okay, this was not good lying. I was sitting there in primary school and we were having a spelling test of some sort and I hadn't studied. And so a friend of mine, that we weren't even that good friends, but we sat next to each other. We decided, why don't we cheat? So we sat down and the teacher started asking, okay, how do you spell this? Or what is the Afrikaans of this? Or I can't remember. It was something like that. And we had the textbook on our lap and we both kind of looked across. And it was a test out of 20, I remember, clear as day. And then sort of, okay, you know, hand in, what have you, then swap pages so that you can mark each other's work. And we went through the whole list. And then she started, okay, who got 0 out of 20? And no one put up their hands. 1 out of 20. 2 out of 20. Eventually, sort of, it got to kind of 16 out of 20. And then all of a sudden, it dried up. 17, no one. 18 out of 20. No one. 19 out of 20. No one. 20 out of 20. And we both stood up. And I mean, we were not good students. Let me tell you that. And I think back now, I'm like, what on earth were we doing? If you're going to lie, please just don't do it as badly as we did. But I can tell you some either good or some bad news is that we actually did get away with it, I think. But there wasn't any trouble. We didn't get sent to the principal's office. And we weren't even asked about it. But you know, lying is, it's everywhere. And because it's everywhere, we shouldn't be surprised that it finds its way into our Christian lives and it finds its way into our church. It's just, it just shouldn't surprise us. When you say, we are doing fine, but you're really not doing fine, you know what that's called? It's called a lie, isn't it? When you say to me after the service today, James, you did a great job. But in your heart, you think, man, that was a really stinking sermon. As encouraged as I might feel, it's a lie, isn't it? If that's what you thought in your heart, it's a lie. You say, oh, look, I would love to come over, but I can't. I've got a busy weekend. But you really just don't want to. Just told a lie. Oh, I couldn't make church. I wasn't feeling well. But it's not really that you weren't feeling so bad. It's more that you didn't really want to come. It's called a lie. Here's one I'm sure many of us have told. Sorry I'm late. The traffic was hectic. And lo and behold, it was actually normal traffic for that time of the day. You just left too late. Well, you know what? That is called a lie. And lying and pretense and pretending is such a part of our culture and our character that sometimes we don't even know that we're doing it. And yet we lie with our words, we lie with our smiles, with our bodies, and we can certainly lie with our silence. But why do we do it? Why on earth, if lying is such a bad thing, if we had to write a test and the question was, is lying a good thing or a bad thing, we'd say it's a bad thing. But why then do we do it? Well, it's often because of fear, isn't it? We're scared of getting into trouble. We're scared of punishment. Maybe we're scared of looking bad, which is also pride, isn't it? We don't want to look bad, and so we lie. And we're scared of conflict. If you're like me, you don't like fighting. And if you don't like fighting, then sometimes all you have to do is tell a little lie and there won't be any fight. It's because we're scared. And so we throw people off the scent of what's really going on by deceiving. I still remember another of my earliest lies. My uncle was building a farmhouse on his farm. And I was very young. And I remember kind of walking past this flower bed. And there was this beautiful flower, lone flower, sticking its head out of this flower bed. And it was all kind of sandy and a few little greens. And then there was this beautiful red flower. And I was like, oh, my mom will just love this. And so I grabbed this flower. And I sort of took it to my mom. Now, I've sort of fairly recently taken up gardening. You do not pick people's flowers out of their flower beds, okay? I understand this now. They're like my other adopted children, my flower beds. But I took it to my mom, and there was kind of, you know, there was kind of a little bit of a, oh, around the table, because my uncle, my aunts and what have you, my uncle wasn't there, but my, it's like, oh, you know, you shouldn't have done that, and your uncle's been working very hard on his flower beds, and this is his first flower, and you need to go and tell your uncle what you did. I was like, where's the thanks for the flower? I mean, you know, where's the hug? And what a sweet little kid. And I had to go and tell my uncle. And I had a scary uncle, very scary uncle. And now I had to go and tell him what I did. And I was like, you know, so kind of I walked away and I was like, ungrateful. You know, what do these people think? I can't believe that they're going to make me tell my uncle that a flower. I mean, we're on a farm. There's 100 flowers. Just, you know, so I kind of, okay, I got some courage. I walked up to my uncle, he was building a boma, and I said, you know, uncle, how's it going? And he said, it's going fine, you know, we're building well here. And I said, fantastic. And I walked away. I just couldn't bring myself to actually tell him what I'd done. I was scared of him. I was a little guy. Again, like many other scenarios, certainly in my primary school, I got away with it. And so often that's the problem, isn't it? That it's because we get away with it that we so easily continue with our lying. The question you need to ask yourself is, do you really get away with it? And as you read through the scriptures, there's certainly some very famous liars in the Bible, aren't there? Ananias and Sapphira. If you know that story, then you'll agree with me. How on earth did that make it into the Bible? But you got this husband and wife deceiving the apostles as to how much contribution they had given. And it cost them their lives in the end. I think Achan's a great example of that. He just didn't want to get honest about what he had done. And the scary thing is he'd had these opportunities given to him. Listen, just come clean. Just come clean. And he just didn't. And he just didn't. And eventually, again, it cost him his life. And I think the thing that we need to understand, especially as disciples who fear God, we need to understand that God does see. He does know that maybe you can deceive people around you, but we serve God. And he knows what's going on in our hearts. I think Judas pretended in many ways to be a disciple. He was there doing the disciple things, but as you read the scriptures, you realize in his heart there was bitterness growing, and he was disagreeing with what Jesus was doing and with what he was teaching. And then he goes and makes possibly the worst bet in history. And he bets against Jesus. And eventually, he realizes what he had done. And overcome with guilt, he commits suicide. Have a look in Proverbs 6, verse 16. It says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Now, God hates and detests lying. Jesus even called Satan the father of lies. God exposes lies. He hates them. And the reason why is that lying destroys us and it destroys the people around us. And the scary thing is that it does it very slowly. Does it very slowly. And so right off the bat, I want to get something out of the way. There is no such thing as good Christian lying. You know, we often lie in order to be nice, don't we? In order not to hurt people, in order not to create discomfort, we kind of mangle a little bit with the truth in order to present it in a nicer, more presentable way. You know, I went and looked this up in 20 different translations, English translations of the Bible. Do you know how many times the word nice comes up? Literally, if I got 20 different translations of the Bible, old to new, big pile of Bibles, the word nice in all of these Bibles comes up 40 times. And it's generally used for describing the nice meal. And yet, as much as nice is not really a Christian virtue in the Bible per se, it's very easy to kind of make being nice kind of the chief goal of our lives. That as long as you are nice, if someone is nice, that equates to them being a good Christian person. Now, if you're like me, I'm incredibly sentimental on all levels. I'm sentimental with stuff. I hate throwing things away. I'm sentimental with people. And it really pains me in my heart, this idea that there are so many nice people who are not part of the covenant family of God. It pains me. I don't know if it hurts you as well. It's just a hard one to wrestle with in my heart that, you know, God sort of lays out what it means to be in his covenant family. And you see faith, absolutely, and you see repentance. And there's a number of things that you see. But it doesn't say if you are nice, you are part of his covenant family. And that's a hard one because it's just we live in a world where being nice and being Christian are kind of seen as the same thing. And I think we grow up with a number of kind of unspoken rules, kind of cultural rules that can hurt us in this regard. I think, don't show your true feelings. Rules, always be friendly. Don't fight. Be careful not to make mistakes. We grow up, we teach our children some of these things, whether we mean it or not. And it adds so much pressure on us to be nice, that it becomes very tempting to kind of put on a play, doesn't it? To kind of put on a facade of being nice and looking nice in order to be considered a good Christian. I don't know if you've ever heard of the philosopher, kind of politician, author Machiavelli. Okay? If you're described as being Machiavellian, it is not a good thing. Okay? He came up, he was a writer, he wrote a famous book called The Prince. And he's very influential in political thinking. And some of his philosophies that we know are things like, he was a big advocate for anyone can be bought. Everyone has a price. You might be a good person, but at some price you will give that up. That was Machiavelli. That's what he had to say. But he also had something else that he was very fond of. The ends justifies the means. As long as the end is what you want, how you get there, it doesn't really matter. Scary thing about us as Christians sometimes is we can be Machiavellian. As long as they feel loved, it doesn't matter if I tell a couple of lies to get there. Can you see how easy that is? How easy it is to be focused on what is the end result that I'm trying to get? And if it means I need to twist the truth a little bit in order to get there, well, that's okay because the end is good. And you know what? It's not good. And I've struggled with this a lot over the years because I like happy endings. I really do. And, you know, it's a hard one to try and work out. If it's going to encourage someone, does it matter if I flatter them beyond the point of truth? If it's going to encourage them, does it really matter if I go beyond the realms of truth? You know, I love your dress. But in your mind, you're thinking, you look like a bozo. They walk away feeling happy, and you walk away feeling I made them happy. And all I had to do was just flatter them, just lie. And it can be a real struggle that if the outcome is positive, does it matter that you took liberty with the truth? It does matter. It does matter. It is never right. It is never good, and it is never godly to lie. And if that is true, then some of the nicest people in the room today are in need of some repentance. Because I related to everything that Paul said last week about people pleasing, and they obviously connected. That it's a problem. It's a problem. You know, in Matthew 23, it's going to say it's going to come up on the screen just now. This is what Jesus had to say about pretending. He said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, the spiritual people, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." You know, lying about how you are really doing spiritually in order to look more spiritual is one of the most destructive evil forces around. It is a devastating, devastating, devastating thing to do. And Jesus was far more severe on those kind of people than he was on even the prostitutes who were at least honest and were at least real. And Jesus really got down on the spiritual people who put up a front of how they were really doing instead of being honest. Called them whitewashed tombs. He says, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy. You know, the word hypocrite literally comes from the Greek root to act or to perform. That it's a word that was used in other contexts, literally for a performer, for putting on a play in front of other people. And when we choose to keep up appearances, we really end up destroying ourselves. And we end up destroying the people around us, usually the ones that we love. You know, my wife coined a phrase that's really stuck with me the last year. You know, as she sort of teaches people the Bible, this is an issue that comes up, is living two lives. And if you've ever felt a struggle with that, you know that, boy, at work I'm this way, but at home I'm this way, and then at church I'm this way. And kind of, you know, we've got different lives that we live in. And she was really, you know, does such a great job at teaching that it's just one life. You only have one life. And you need to be real. And sometimes that one life is not so acceptable in the workplace. But you need to deal with that. And sometimes that one life is not so acceptable in the church place. But you need to deal with that. And it's just one life that we live. Have a look in Revelation chapter 21. Funny how a white lie is kind of seen as a small lie or a small sin. But I think we need to destroy this kind of concept that being nice is better than being honest. Revelation 21 verse 6. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. To those who are victorious, those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Really is a passage of two parts, isn't it? And I think, you know, society and even the church, we can hold up the nice Christian lie, the white lie with a happy ending as something okay. And as we read through Revelations here, that the cowardly, again, so much of our lying comes from being cowards, doesn't it? It says all liars grouped together in the same sentence as those that practice witchcraft, as the sexually immoral, as the murderers. They really, God takes dishonesty and deceit incredibly serious. And you know what? It may not feel as evil, but it really is in its own subtle way. You know, there was this little four-year-old, and he was walking with his dad along the beach, and they were walking, having a nice little chat, as dads and four-year-olds can sometimes do. And then all of a sudden, lying on the rock was this kind of mangled up seagull, dead on the rock. And all of a sudden, the little boy started to cry and said, "Dad, what happened to the birdie?" And sort of the dad in his kind of gentleness kind of went down and put his arms around his son and said, "Son, the bird has died and gone to heaven." And the little boy just, but Dad, why did God throw him back?" I want to throw this out there to the parents. Is we need to be a little bit careful what we say to our kids, don't we? We've all had to kind of deal with how much do we protect our kids from the truth. Because certain truths are maybe a little bit heavy for a four-year-old or for a three-year-old or what have you. But lying is not the answer. Telling your children lies about life in order to cover and protect them from the truth, it might protect you from a bit of awkwardness in the short run. But like all lies, they eventually do catch up. And I've really experienced that in my own life, and particularly in my own marriage. It's amazing how we lie often the most to the people that are closest to us. That, you know, there's times when, you know, I'll feel a little bit upset by something that my wife has said or done. And she'll say, hey, you know, is everything okay? And I'll be like, yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. You know, if you lie often and long enough, you can actually get quite good at it. And okay, fine. And then, you know, a week will go long, but it's kind of still sitting there. You've ever felt that before? Still sitting there. And then kind of something else comes up. And the reaction is a little bit out of proportion with the offense. And all of a sudden, more of it like, whoa, where did that come from? And then, you know, a little bit of time goes on and eventually, bang, this happened and, blah, and you know, this whole long overreaction. And what it came from was a little dishonesty, maybe a week or two ago. Then instead of saying, you know what, I know it's silly that I'm feeling this way, I shouldn't feel this way, but I felt upset when you said this. Instead of being honest back then, well, I'm a macho man and we don't get oversensitive to silly little things. And so you internalize it, but eventually it comes out. Maybe in a fight, even more destructive in growing cold in your heart. But eventually, it comes out. You know, I've had to learn that conflict and resolution is actually a wonderful, healthy thing. I grew up in a home where kind of fights, you just don't fight. Peace, peace. Just no one fights, don't fight, just don't fight. We just don't fight. And if someone fights, it's, whoa, they're fighting. And then I've had to learn, literally learn, that fighting and resolution is okay. It's okay to kind of have a little bit of a fight and then you kind of make up and you hear each other out. Oh, and then there's big hugs and then you're all best friends again. I've had to learn that that is good because you know what? We're sinful. We mess up all the time. We're very different people trying to live in the same spaces. And so we hurt each other and we need to kind of resolve and be honest and have a little fight and then make up and be friends again. No conflict is a bad sign. Because it means either someone is not being honest or someone is absorbing more than they should absorb. You know, if you need to quit lying, here's just two practical steps that you can take. I think the first one is you got to clean out the closet, okay? Not literally clean out the closet, but you need to be willing to say, I'm going to come clean with the stuff that I haven't been honest about. Got to clean out the closet. You know, lying is kind of like a disease that gets worse and worse as you add lie to lie, doesn't it? It kind of gets worse and worse. And the Bible says, just get it out. Maybe you're embarrassed. Who cares? Maybe you feel bad. Who cares? Maybe it makes you look silly. Who cares? Get it out. So many situations, because I struggle with people pleasing, because I struggle with being honest about how I feel, which in the context of what we're talking about is called lying. Okay? It's funny how we do that. I struggle with being honest. Sounds a lot nicer than I lie a lot, doesn't it? And, you know, I'd been just sort of middle of last year. I just come out of kind of an 18-month, just felt like a bad patch. I just, my relationship with God just wasn't kind of where it needed to be, and it was just a really hard time. I wasn't pursuing humility. There was just a lot of stuff, and eventually I sat down with Vanna, who was discipling me at the time, and I just said, "But you know, here's just kind of what's going on. Here's how my quiet times have been. Here's how my life has been." And as much as I thought I would feel bad afterwards, because kind of that, you know, it's because it's a bad thing that we hold on to it, I felt so good. And I think if you've got stuff going on inside, especially the stuff that you feel embarrassed about saying, you got to clean out the closet. You got to tell someone. It's so unbelievably refreshing. And it's the father of lies who tells you that it's better to hold on than to be honest. James 5 verse 16, it'll come up. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We want healing. And so we need to confess. Proverbs 28, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. At the end of the day, it might not be easy. And you might have to go through a difficulty, and there might be conflict, and there might be bad stuff that follows your honesty. But at the end of the day, it is always better to be honest with who you are and with what's going on. And concealing sin is just going to leave many years of being stuck before you. Because those that conceal their sin will not prosper. Ephesians 4 says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. You know, when parts of the body start to lie to each other, we call it disease. And we go to doctors for it. Okay? We are part of one body. And so we need to speak truthfully to each other. That we need to live one life. So that's the first one. Clean out the closet. Second one is practice being honest in a respectful way. Literally, practice being honest in a respectful way. That it's not a case of, well, do I need to be honest or kind? No, you don't have to be one or the other. What about being honest and kind? It's possible. And I think what happens after kind of lessons or after feeling convicted about certain things is we can easily let the pendulum swing. So, you know, for months you've been lying, you know, about what's really been going on or feelings that you've had or attitudes that you've had. And it's like, okay, you know what? I've really been holding on to this for a while and I decided, you know, it's time to be honest. And, you know, oh my goodness, you know, it's just going to be this war zone. It's like, whoa, just relax. That sometimes we can overreact and feel like, well, I've been dishonest for so long, so now I'm coming out with the guns blazing. This is not the way to do it, amen? Okay? You don't have to tell the kid, honey, the goldfish has gone to be with Jesus. Now, maybe goldfish do go to be with Jesus, but you know, I'm not so sure about that. We don't have to lie, but you also don't have to say, the fish is in the toilet rotting. Maybe that's true. But I think Jesus was such a great example of being full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. We must speak the truth in love. Instead of saying, that idea stinks, you can say, you know what, I'm not convinced that that's the best way we should go. Can we talk about it some more? Instead of saying, I can't make dinner, I've got other plans. What about saying, you know what, I'd prefer not to come to dinner tonight. I really feel like I need some alone time. It's just being honest. If someone's got a problem with that, then you can talk about it. But you don't have to lie. And you certainly don't have to be harsh. Instead of saying that dress looks terrible, and you're like, okay, you know, James has spoken about being honest. Okay, hi, how are you doing? Is that a new dress? It really doesn't look that good on you. If someone asks you, you can say, you know what? It's not my favorite. And sometimes if we want to invite comment, if we want to invite comment, then we need to be willing to handle the truth. Amen? Spoken to some of the wives amongst us. But we need to practice telling the truth in a kind way. That you need to say what you really want to say, but in a way that's still gentle. And to close out, I want to encourage us, no matter where you are at today, maybe you really are in a situation where your conscience is clear and there's nothing kind of bugging you or niggling you. That's fantastic. claim it, enjoy it. But maybe you're in a situation where you realize, you know, there are some things that I've been holding back on, or things that I've been pretending in a relationship, in a friendship, in a certain situation, and you're feeling that burden of dishonesty. And it really is a bit of a burden, isn't it? Kind of, you know, you lie in bed at night, or when you think about a certain person, it kind of, it bugs you. The burdens of having a double life or a double appearance. Jesus said in John 8, the truth will set you free. That those burdens don't have to be there anymore. And the great thing about your true self is your true self is the way God made you. As much as we can sometimes feel a bit embarrassed about how we're made, and we kind of compare ourselves and we feel like we need to be more like this and more like this, your true self, the honest self, as much as it shocks you sometimes, the honest self is the way that God has made you, and He wants to use you. And when you pretend to be someone else, you deny yourself the opportunity. Deny yourself the opportunity of being used the way God made you. And you deny yourself the opportunity of having God work in your heart in an honest way. So I want to encourage you, don't let the father of lies tell you that it's better to be nice than to be honest. If you hear that voice in your head, block your ears. And let's live out the prayer, so beautiful. The prayer in Psalm 32 that says, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Let's go to God and pray.